Let's begin with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in a bulletin, I had written some things beginning from here about the work of the spirit of Antichrist. I merely mention that for context's sake because I want to speak of the anointing to come. You know, there's always negative things happening. And you shouldn't be ignorant, but you can't focus on that or make that the primary thing you're feeding upon or it will take you down. We need to feed upon the Word of God. And even as the Lord in His Word does bring correction and address those things, the pattern, I call it a correction sandwich, Revelation 2 and 3, when He spoke to the seven churches, He said He first would affirm each one what they were doing right, then He would bring the correction, and then He would bring encouragement to them of what He wanted to do. So the ministry of the Word will encompass that. If you just have a warning of judgment or just a correction, well, that leaves you negative. We need to know what to do and what God intends to do about it. So I'll begin here in Thessalonians. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together to Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or quickly shaken or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us as the day of Christ is at hand." You know, there would be false prophets and teachers who would write things or send things out acting as though they were representing Apostle Paul or John, but really they were just name dropping to try to get credibility. You know, people have always done that. They'll do it today. They'll try and name drop to get some credibility. But when the Spirit of God is ministering through someone, you don't have to name drop. They'll be the witness of the Spirit. Well, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means." Now, notice that a man can deceive you who's under the influence of Satan, or Satan directly deceive you. But nonetheless, deception's deception. "That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin," or the Antichrist, "be revealed, the son of perdition," or destruction, "who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, there's a reference here to the Antichrist revealing himself, and before the return of the Lord, he will manifest himself during the 7-year tribulation. And I believe it's mid-trib that the church is taken out. And then, and only then, can he fully unleash all that he has. Now, I do want to also mention that the spirit of Antichrist has always been at work. 1 John 2:18, John mentions that many went out from them who had that Antichrist spirit. So back in John's day, he specifically mentioned that. So it's not just something to come, but that spirit of Satan, Antichrist spirit, had been operating in people from the beginning. And that spirit will look for people that he can possess, dominate, that will do his bidding and his work. There's a great movement today of the Antichrist spirit, more than the world's ever seen. We're getting closer and closer to the end. Will that be in my lifetime, your lifetime? We don't know that. Scripture does tell us. Don't be trying to say you know when it's going to happen, because you don't. Only the Father in heaven knows. So as soon as someone's prophesying or saying, "Oh, in 3 years it's going to happen," click them off. Don't listen anymore, because they've just spoken contrary to Scripture. Now, Scripture does tell us we can know the times and the seasons. You know, it was cold this morning. The season of winter, you can tell that's getting close. Now, if I had my preference, we'd have a winter like last year that was very mild. Goes easier on the heating bills. That's my main motive for it. I mean, I can put an extra coat on, but you're going to pay for that heat in your house. So we can know the seasons. There are signs to this, but we don't know the day and the hour. And there are an increase of signs happening. I listed some of them out. I don't have time to get into all of that now, because I want to get into the anointing that's coming. So I thought, well, I'll write some of these things out. But the things happening today is the work of the Antichrist spirit. People all over, people want to know what's going on, what's going on, what's going to happen, what's going to happen. And they fret about it. You know, if you know your covenant with God and you're walking with him, living by faith, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow could be worse than today. It could be better. But that is not, does not have power over you. Regardless of what we would go through, God's still God. His covenant promises are the same. And we can rise above it. But if you lose sight of those promises, then you're going to be worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. You'll worry about your future, which could even lead you to do some things that aren't really wise. So in the Antichrist spirit, the primary objective of Satan is he wanted the glory. It's spoken of back in Isaiah 14, verse 10 through 14. He wanted to exalt his throne above God. He wanted the glory. God created man that he would glorify himself through us. We would enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, and him work to be glorified by the fruitfulness he would bring through our life. That's the objective to God. So Satan, in taking the glory, if he can dominate man and destroy man, then he is thus stealing the glory. So that's what he's about. If need be, he'll kill and destroy. His preference is just to use someone to serve him. But, you know, what the enemy will do is when he's done playing around with people, then kill him. I remember we had some cats some years ago. And everything God created is an expression of something of him and of the spirit realm. And that we had one cat, and she was a great mouser. I mean, mice didn't have a chance with her around. And she would be proud of her cat. She'd catch them, sneak them in the house if she could. So we could see she was earning her food. Her sister was a big old cat. She didn't care about mice at all. She just cared about getting her food. But this one, man, she was a mouser extraordinaire. I remember once she caught one. I'm watching her outside of the house here, watching her with it. And she would, you know, catch it. She'd smack it around a little bit, let it walk about 3 feet away, and then pounce on it again. She let the mouse think he was getting away. She'd pounce on it again. And after about 5 minutes or so, she'd get bored. Then she'd just bite his head off. And that would be the end of it. And that's a picture. Now, I'm not saying cats are of the devil. I'm sure, you know, they can bring a lot of joy in being a domesticated animal, a pet. But there's a certain picture of the enemy in what cats do with mice. They'll play around with you for a while, and when they're done, then they'll just kill you. That's how Satan is. If he can just use you to be his vessel, he'll do that a while, and then when you're not useful, he'll just kill you. He'll destroy you. Well, the Antichrist spirit is doing these works. It's really the prime objective, verse 4, to oppose and exalt himself above all that's called or established, ordained of God, the God who we are to worship. So he's against that. If he can keep you from church, that's Satan. God doesn't do things to keep you from church. Satan does. You know, when someone's newly born again, it's important to really encourage them. You need to come and hear the word. Because if they just sit at home and don't hear the word, they're going to dry up. Satan will wipe them out. You've got to go hear the word. That has to be stressed. We need to come and worship the Lord. He commands us to do that. That's just one little example there. But he's going to try to undermine everything that's of God. So I mentioned, I sat down, I was thinking this week, and I studied a couple months ago, like Nazi Germany in the 20s and 30s, Soviet Russia, and what's happening here today, what happened here in the U.S. after World War I, between then and World War II. There's all these parallels there, and they're all repeating themselves today. And some of the things there, you had like massive propaganda. Our media is nothing but a propaganda machine with a few outliers of some people rising up trying to still hold fast to truth. None of the major media, and I mean none, zero. They've all sold out to the devil's propaganda. And that's one of the things. Hitler used propaganda. Stalin, Lenin, they used propaganda to indoctrinate people. They would indoctrinate children and youth, indoctrinate them ultimately to where they would turn against their parents. So I'm saying that one for a reason, because the anointing to come is going to break that. And I'm going to show you in Scripture. But in Germany, they would take the youth to these Hitler youth camps, and they do all kinds of fun physical stuff, games and stuff, swimming and what have you. And then they'd indoctrinate them. And they would. They came to where they were loyal to Hitler and the state, not even loyal to their parents anymore, who is the first representation of God that a human being gets in their life, because their parents will bring some semblance of authority to them. I remember sitting with various pastors in Ukraine and in Russia, and they would talk about this. A lot of the church ministries there, the Holy Ghost-filled ministries, would have drug rehabs because drug addiction was 10 times worse. This is my opinion by observation and listening to the brethren there. 10 times worse there than here. That's hard to imagine, that kind of number, but I'm serious about that. Most all the pastors that I know over there were drug addicts, and they worked for the local mafia boys collecting money, breaking legs. But they became born again, set free from their sin, new hope, the Spirit of God come within them. You'd never know that to be around any of them now. They are men of love and peace and joy now, where they were once full of hatred and drug addiction and lust and all the rest. So it's fun sitting with people like that. That's fun. And say, hey, tell me your story while I eat your food. Well, these guys would sit, and I can still remember sitting in Odessa Long Street Cafe, and they're talking about back when they would be sent to these commie youth camps and being indoctrinated and all this stuff. And they were told that salvation's through the collective. You know, our President Obama, I saw on video four different occasions, he might have said it more, but four that I saw, where he said, and I quote, salvation is not personal, it's collective. That is right out of the writings of communism, that the state is your savior, and they would add with that that your joy will come from serving the state. You are a slave to the state. So in communism, no one owns anything. You are not allowed to make any decisions. They regulate everything. They will completely run your life and ruin your life as well. And these guys would sit around, and they were all teenagers before the communism came down and the Spirit of God invaded their nations, and there were massive amounts of people getting saved. Massive amounts. Most of these people were like older teens, like 18 to 20 years old, running to Jesus. I mean, just coming. We've not seen anything like that here probably since the Great Awakening back in the 1700s. People think people just getting excited for Jesus is a real revival move. The only reason you think that's, you're not seeing a greater thing. Where massive numbers just coming to Jesus, leaving the bondage, running to Jesus. So these guys, they're sitting and laughing. This was crazy. It was foolish. I mean, it was just insanity. It was demonic. But they didn't know any different but to believe that. And they would, you know, march in their army and everything else. Well, that's one of the things that the enemy will do. And it's happening today here. All of the 10 or 12 things, whatever I wrote out there, all of it's happening today in the United States. That's right. All of it. The work of the Antichrist spirit is undermining everything of God, right down to whether you're a man or a woman. Well, you can say what you are today. You know, that's what's out there. Well, if I feel like I'm a woman today, I'll just say it and I am. What kind of lunacy? It's demonic. To undermine marriage, the institution of marriage, to undermine being a man or a woman, to undermine creation. I mean, just right on down the line, everything that's of God and good is being undermined with an attempt to destroy it so that the Antichrist spirit can come into complete control. Now, these things have been done before in history. Nazi Germany, Communist Soviet Union, all the same playbooks. You can research it all yourself. You don't have to just take my word for it. All of these same things have been done already. And this work will continue up unto the coming of Christ. One of the things we see it's important to understand as we read on in these verses is that the iniquity is already working, verse 7. Only he who now lets or hinders will until he's taken out of the way. The hindrance to Antichrist is the church, the Spirit of God in his people. We're the ones holding it back. Our prayer, just the ministry of the word, the light of the gospel of Christ, that's the only thing holding back. Government's not going to hold it back. Don't fall into that deception and that lie. I mean, praise God, we have our First Amendment, but everything's being leveled at it to destroy our Constitution, to destroy that First Amendment and all the other ones as well. Now, I don't mean to sound like a fatalistic here. I'm just stating what's a fact. If you don't acknowledge what's true, then you'll never deal with it. And too much of people are wanting to live according to the past. Everything in life's always changing. You have to be in the reality of the day. You can't think, well, that'll be like it was 20 years ago. No, we're barreling into the end of the end times here. But I have some good news for you that I want to bring to you. Before I get to that, I do want to say it's very important, verse 10. If we don't have the love for the truth, you will enter into the deception of the enemy. You must love the word of God and love the truth more than anything else. The truth will still set us free. No matter what's going on around us, we can walk free or above the influence of it as we hold fast to the truth. If Satan can minimize the value of the truth of the word of God, then he's already got you. And another one of the things happening. Well, no, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me come back here to verse 3, where it says, "At first be a falling away." Now, by those English words, it would appear like, well, they'll be backsliding before he returns. That's how it appears. But in the Greek, the word apostasia is speaking of people being brought to a choice, God or Satan, good or evil, life or death. And the Antichrist spirit, through force, is working to cause people to choose to serve Satan, whether directly or indirectly. It's always about the same thing. To bring people, to force them to choose. So you have today, just to give an example, many journalists, many in media are being brought to a choice. You say what we tell you to say, or you're going to lose your job and we'll make sure you never get hired again. You could have some in the medical community, same thing. You could have some in law enforcement or any professional realm where the threat of money is used, or the enemy will use that to say, you bow or else. We'll make it you won't get any. You'll lose your income. So that's one way. There's other ways. But that's one way. And if you love money more than God, eventually you'll bow to the one who controls the money. And it's happening all around us today. Okay, so you have that. You have violence being used. You know, this stuff that went on earlier this year was planned. It's satanic. It's domestic terrorism. Hitler did the same thing. Russia, they did the same thing to intimidate with violence. Then you have the spirit of fear, and that's been unleashed earlier this year. And we need to stand against the work of the spirit of fear. Fear is the very underpinning of communism. And Stalin, all those guys, they would actually randomly kill so many people just to keep people afraid. So they would just bow. Okay, well, being brought to a choice. Now, on the one hand, the Antichrist spirit is doing that. Satan always leads by force. But God, who's called gentleness, one of his fruits, does not force. He does not lead by force. He leads by love, or he reveals himself, and he is love, he is mercy, he is faithful. He leads by bringing a revelation of himself, and then he wants us to choose him on our own will because we love him. Satan forces. People that don't know God will try to influence people to do what they want by force, whether it's intimidation, money, threats, whatever. That you always know that's of the devil when force is being used. A wise parent, you know, you have to discipline the child, but you need to then transition to where you're creating understanding as to the reason why you would do certain things, where then it becomes their conviction and they choose to do right, not just in your presence, but in your absence. All right. Well, let me get up here, the coming anointing. I want to go to Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4. I first read Malachi 3:1. And this is the last prophetic word for 400 years before the Christ would come. God's speaking here in verse 1 of John the Baptist, who would prepare the way of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40 also prophesied of John the Baptist's ministry. It says here, he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom he seeks out shall suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he comes, saith the Lord of hosts. So John the Baptist came and had a message of repentance, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. The hearts were prepared for the Lord who would come as they repented and turned from sin, having expectation of the Spirit of God. Chapter 4, verse 5 then, has a similar prophetic word. Scrolling down. Verse 5, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, in Scripture, when it talks of the dreadful day of the Lord, it's speaking of the Lord's second coming when he brings judgment. The first coming, he came to save. The second coming, he comes to judge. Dreadful day of the Lord. And he says, I'm going to send this Elijah anointing to prepare the way for that second coming. Now, the event that happens immediately before the second coming is the rapture of the church, that will be called up to be with him. And then his wrath is poured out on the evil that's at work all over the world. The wrath of God will be poured out that time. But we're taken up prior to that. Now, that being said, as we're getting closer to the great tribulation in that day, things around us get worse and worse. Again, you know your covenant with God. That should not bring fear to your heart. I don't worry about that. Because God's still who he said he is to me as a believer and to you as a believer. And regardless of what's happening around us, and one of the plainest examples in Scripture was Daniel, who it was spoken prophetically, the whole nation's going in under judgment. to Babylon, but God raised Daniel up. Daniel was uncompromised. Daniel's faith was unfazed. And God not only took care of him, he raised him up to be one of the most influential men of that generation. Well, he said, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet, or that anointing that was on Elijah. He'll turn the heart of fathers to the children and children to the fathers. In Luke chapter 1, this verse is quoted when God was speaking by the angel to Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, that his son John is going to function in this ministry. The turning of the hearts to the fathers from the children and fathers to the children, and the hearts of Israel being turned back to the Lord. That was the preparing of the way. And the thing that I became aware of, actually as last week this revelation was coming to me, that the work of the Antichrist spirit ultimately in trying to undo everything that's of God actually is working to turn children against parents and parents against children. Because that is one of the most basic God-established things that there is. You know, the marriage and the parenting of children and him. And again, in Germany and in Russia, this actually took place. And the devil's trying to do this today by indoctrinating kids in schools, you know, colleges, schools and all the rest, media, to indoctrinate them, to hate everything that's of God, to fill them with envy and fear that they can be manipulated. And the good news here, this coming anointing is going to break through that. Yes. The coming anointing is the anointing of Elijah. And when John the Baptist first came, they asked him, are you the Christ or are you Elijah to come? They knew this scripture. Are you Elijah to come? He said, no. But then Jesus said, well, Elijah's already come, referring to John the Baptist. It could appear like a contradiction, but it's not. It was the anointing that was on Elijah, not the man. And that's the anointing on Elijah back in 1 Kings 18. You know the story there where he is confronting King Ahab, who was evil. His wife Jezebel was killing all the prophets, having them murdered. Ahab's one governor, Obadiah, was hiding 100 prophets in two caves in groups of 50 and feeding them. And that was what was happening back then. That's a whole nother deal to get into that detail. But then Elijah shows himself to King Ahab, says, call the prophets of Baal here, and we're going to see who's God's real and alive. Putting in my own words. So they do that, and you know, he's saying for, you know, them to call fire down to consume their offering, and they're jumping around crying out, and they end up cutting themselves, and he's mocking their God, the God of Baal. You see, Ahab with the prophets of Baal led the nation into Baal worship. And one of the things of that is the sacrifice of children or the shedding of innocent blood, which God hates. Present day is abortion. God hates that, and that in itself can bring judgment on a nation. So there's a confrontation here, and he says to call the people of Israel together, and he says at verse 21, who are you going to serve? Don't be divided between two opinions or frames of thought here. Either you worship Baal or you worship God. Who are you going to serve? And it says they didn't answer him a word. They were worshiping Baal. And to say we're going to worship God, they've been out on the limb. You know, for all you know, they could have been killed for saying something like that. Censorship is one of the marks of the Antichrist spirit. It's happening all around us. I mean, post something. If you have Facebook, post something that is real bold about things going on, and you'll see it be removed. Well, they call it Facebook jail. You know, my wife will show me all the time, you know, this preacher or this doctor or this person or that who's speaking out against what's going on, they go into Facebook jail. It's removed. Censorship. Well, you know, these people are scared. So then we have the whole thing, the prophets of Baal, they couldn't call fire down. And Elijah, he prays, Lord, show yourself that you're the God of Israel. And his prayer is that the people be brought to the choice to choose God. And that is the essence of the Elijah anointing. He didn't bring judgment on Ahab and Jezebel. That came later. What he was doing was confronting the people of God or bringing them to the decision. It's Christ or the devil, good or evil, life or death. And I believe as we're moving forward in these last days here, and the Antichrist spirit's work is increasing, and no politician's going to save us from this. You know, there's reprieves where maybe the influence of the Antichrist spirit's held back more, but Jesus Christ alone can only be viewed as a savior. And to try to ascribe man's going to save me is a slap in the face of God. A slap in his face. His hand will lift off people who he's anointed if the glory begins to go to man. That's the thing that we cannot do in this last day and hour is touch the glory, because God wants to be glorified in the midst of it all. So this Elijah anointing is going to bring a confrontation or choice. Who will you serve? The Antichrist spirit, that's what he's doing as well. But he tries to force people to serve him through fear, intimidation, and such like. But God wants to reveal himself that we make a choice, and we clearly see the choice. It's life or death. Blessing or cursing, as mentioned in Deuteronomy 30 and Joshua 24. Life or death, blessing or cursing, good or evil. It's not about political parties. It's good or evil. You're on one or the other. And sometimes people think they can do what many politicians have done, say, well, personally, I'm against abortion, but I'm not going to stand against it in my job or my office. Well, no, you're for it, pal. Because if you're not against it, you're for it. See, that's like this big lie people put out there. It's a choice. Another thing that's coming is the anointing on corporate worship. And I've been speaking of this for some weeks now. Our faith needs to increase. We need to embrace this and understand this, that God wants to manifest his presence in the praise and worship and thanksgiving to God, where his ministry is going out from the corporate presence of God, and thus no man is ever able to take the glory. All the glory just goes to God. That's the better way. But that involves all of us taking our place as priests in the kingdom of God and bringing our prayers and our praise before the Lord. Not coming to be entertained, not coming just to sing songs, but to truly with all of our heart give our worship and praise to the Lord our God. That's part two here. Second coming anointing. That corporal anointing. Now that's been there. I mean, that's been there. But we're talking about an increase, a major release. You see, with the anointings of the Spirit of God through time, and if someone's more newly into the things of God, they won't recognize this. But you can look over time. There's certain time periods, certain anointings are released. Back in the mid-90s, there was a release with laughter. It was just presence of God. It's bringing laughter. And then you have people begin to just seek that, and then it stops. Or anointings with laying on of hands, or you know, healing moves of God and such like. Now, that's always available to us in the covenant. But as far as special anointings go, it's something a little bit different here. There's an anointing in the corporate worship to those and for those who will lay a hold of that. There's been an anointing this year. What my perception of what the Spirit of God was doing and what needed to be done is the impartation of the strength of the Holy Ghost, spirit to spirit, through the preaching of the Word. The anointing's changed. Oh, I mean, no, I still teach. I love to teach. I can wake up in the middle of the night and start teaching. But what's needed is an impartation of strength, because evil around us is increasing in its strength. You've got to be strong. Now, there's things we can do ourselves, but then there's also the anointing in the corporate with the preaching of the word to impart spirit to spirit strength. The anointing of the presence of God. Do you hear a word from God just as you're worshiping him, or peace come to you if you're needing peace or healing or whatever? But then this other Elijah anointing to come. There is an anointing that's going to be released through the body of Christ. You see, when John the Baptist came, that was on one man to prepare the way for the Lord. But before the Lord's return, that Elijah anointing is going to be released on the church all over the world to speak of Christ, or the gospel, to speak of Christ, that people be brought to a decision. It will not just suffice anymore just to, well, I said God loves you or Jesus or something. But they'll be brought to a decision, not by you trying to force anything, but the anointing of the Holy Ghost is going to be on the personal witness in a way we've not seen before. And part of it involves carrying the presence of God, which would emanating out from us, joy and peace and love. You know, when you're in a world with no hope, that stands out. If you're carrying that, you stand out in the crowd. But people are going to be brought to the decision. Consider this. Pray about it. You may witness in a different way than you have before. You may actually come to a point where you say, you know, respectfully, I like to, you know, I want to share something with you. After you've shared who Jesus is, or however the word came out there, sir, you need to make a choice. It's life or death. It's life or death. It's God or Satan. There's not some middle ground here. And I believe that anointing is going to prepare the way. As John the Baptist was used to preach repentance, it will prepare the way for the return of Christ to receive all of his people up. They will have made a choice. They know they've been cleansed by the blood. They have the word of their testimony, and even not loving this life unto the death, as it says in Revelation chapter 12. I believe that's coming. You know, with the negative and the evil that would be around us at any point, and those things change at times, what we need to learn to do is, God, where are you? What are you going to do? What do you say to this situation? You know, if you have a pain in your body or something physical, God, what do you say to that? Oh, yeah, I am the Lord that heals you. By his stripes, I already was healed. We look for what does God say to it, and what is he going to do relative to it. He has a plan. He already knows ahead. Don't just absorb yourself in the negative. Don't be ignorant of it, but don't absorb yourself in it. I can only listen so much to the negative things. I say, well, you need to turn this off now. I have to keep my faith strong and pray and release faith and continue to thank God for all that he's given me and worship him and endeavor to walk in how he would have me to walk and to live. Amen. Well, there's a coming anointing. I'm gearing myself for what the Lord wants to do. Not trying to hang on to something of the past. Worship team, come up here. I want to remind you something I said earlier. I've restructured the worship service for a reason. I don't do things different for the sake of doing it different. Thinking, wow, that's God. I did something different. Some people do that, you know. But it's to set ourselves. Hear the word. Be strengthened. Be reminded of the truth. Then we're going to, all of our heart, give our praises to him. And allow expectation to grow. The Spirit of God, he wants to speak to you. He wants to minister to you. He wants to be whatever you need him to be. I mean, over the years, there's been many a times people have testimony. You know, while we were worshiping, I got healed or set free or God showed me what to do. It's not a new thing. but it's going to be a major thing. And it's important corporately we have that expectation together. Amen.